stove.
You're tuned to 106.1 FM, WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio.
All right, and I am Steve Kerrigan, and I'm your host of the program entitled Local Folk. Titled Local Folk. And that was Chris Vaughn, my co-host. And I am, that song that you just heard was an indicator of who my guest is tonight. And I'm really excited to have him on here, and I'm going to tell you all about it in just a moment, but, you know, first things first, you know, yeah, plus, no, don't.
plus it's going to be just a wee bit windy.
A wee bit windy, yeah, well, we wouldn't want the wind to whip under the kilt.
No, bad thing.
Alrighty, so is that it? Is that the weather? Just get ready for it?
Just get ready for more snow. I mean, there's various estimates of accumulation, 4 to 8 to 12 inches. It's all over the place.
4 to 8 to 12 inches, unbelievable.
Yeah. You know how it's New England and blink and it changes.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Alright. Well, I remember one time they said it wasn't going to... No, it was going to be like a foot, and there was nothing, and then they said there was going to be like 2 inches, and there was a whole bunch, so we'll see what happens. Admittedly, it's hard to predict when it's going to switch over, you know, because either way, it's going to be a lot of precipitation. Hey, I think that's it.
Well, just a little quickie, that actually the snow and storm that's coming in has actually stopped. There was supposed to be a plague of locusts coming in, and obviously locusts don't like... You know, cold, snow, sleety weather. So that may be a bonus.
So God has come down and smote the locusts with its snow.
Smited them.
They've been smiting. All right. Well, that's good. I mean, that's, you know, we've avoided one biblical plague. Thank goodness. On to my guest. I am very pleased to have my old friend Brian Randall, and I have to say that I probably met him back in 2000-ish. I would have to say I was up and living in Newmarket probably around 2000-ish. I met him. We played some music together way back when. You know, I since moved away and whatever else, but you know, we were friends on Facebook, and what was going on here in the Seacoast area was something called the RPM Challenge. And I had been sort of following what he had been writing on Facebook, and he was participating in the RPM Challenge. He said, hey, RPM Challenge is done, and it's great. And I contacted him and said, hey, why don't you be on Local Folk? He said, well, I don't do folk music. And I said, you know, it's people, and this is a big event that's going on. You know, it's local people, and this is a big event that's going on. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I remember playing music with him, and I'm really happy, you know, to have somebody on the show who has participated in the challenge and whom I've known musically for years and years. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, just to back up a little bit, you know, I have this CD that I have not been able to play from a long, long time ago of some stuff that we, you know, jammed on or something like that way back when, and you had a big Hammond organ. You still have that?
I still have that. Actually, it's out in the van right now.
It's out in the van right now.
Just in case. You never know.
Just in case. In case of emergency.
Exactly.
You know, roll out. And the Leslie?
It's in there, too.
Oh, yes. My God.
Leslie's a rotating speaker for any of you that don't know.
Yeah, well, isn't that what really gives the...
It gives the beautiful tone out of the Hammond, yeah.
The beautiful tone out of the Hammond, which they... They can't really truly reproduce all that.
They are getting better all the time. I'm not using the Hammond like I used to now. There are some standalone effects boxes that actually do it very, very well, and the keyboard I have now really does it well, too.
Oh, so. Okay. So you're primarily a keyboard player and
yes.
a vocalist.
Yes.
Okay. Do you play any other instruments?
I play a little bit of guitar, not a lot.
Okay.
Basically, I picked up guitar so I could show the guitarist what I wanted him to play.
Oh, okay.
Because I play some odd chords.
I see.
A lot of jazz chords and stuff.
Yeah. Let's back way up like I often do and just say, did you grow up around here?
Yes, I did, right? Newmarket.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow, so that's terrific.
Yeah.
And the question is, did you grow up with music?
Yes, we grew up with a piano in the house.
A piano in the house.
Right.
Now, sometimes I've had guests on and they've talked, did the piano, was it a dust collector or was it used?
I used it.
You used it.
Actually, okay. I had two older sisters that used to go to Catholic school, so
yeah.
The nuns taught them how, and of course, when they hit a wrong note, the nuns would come along with the yardstick and hit them on the hands.
Okay.
I was lucky enough not to have to go through that.
Because you never hit the wrong note?
No, because I never had the nuns.
Oh, you had the sums.
But that's basically where I started.
Okay,
just
so
banging on that.
But your folks didn't play it though? Is it one of those things
no.
where they had it in the house but they didn't really play it and then you said, "Hey, I better start playing this thing."
Well, actually I started playing it and then it was in this room that we call the toy room. And my father decided that we were going to get rid of the toy room when I grew up past a certain age, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And my mother wanted a larger living room. So at that point, we actually destroyed the piano. It was the only way we could get it out of the house.
You're kidding me.
No, we had to cut it up and bring it through the window. And
really?
Yep.
How did that feel?
Well, it felt great when I was a kid. Just, you know, when you're a kid, you like to rip things apart and stuff like that.
But didn't you
and
know
later
how to
on,
play
I,
it?
Later on, I got an organ in the house.
Oh, okay.
So,
but okay, so at the time, it wasn't like, I've been playing this piano and I feel like it's my friend, you know.
No, I wasn't quite at the musicianship at that point. You know,
was it like chopsticks or was it?
Oh, I could do chopsticks very easily. You
okay.
know, but there was other things I could do on it. I wasn't at the stage, though, where I was learning chords or anything like that.
So you weren't like on fire with it?
No, no.
It was just that thing that was there and you learned how to play and it was
right.
It was an instrument. Did you ever play any other instruments in school when you were in elementary school?
Elementary school, I picked up flute for, I don't know, maybe a month. And I used to get dizzy playing it, and I gave it right up.
Yeah, I know. Too much
I don't know
you have
how
to
they
use
do
your
it.
Breathing. You're supposed to breathe into
yeah,
that thing.
Exactly.
I got dizzy playing. Yeah, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, I never even thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
That's Dizzy Gillespie. Got his name.
That's playing the trumpet, huh? Oh my gosh! So when was it then that you were like, I want to maybe not. I'm on fire with this thing. But
right.
when was it that you said, hey, I really want to learn this instrument?
Well, after we had gotten rid of the piano, one Christmas, my parents had bought me this Magnus chord organ, and it's sort of like a an accordion where you have the buttons that play the chords. So I started playing with the buttons and figuring out how the chords were formed with the other hand. Oh. And at that point, I started to learn a little bit more and a little bit more. And I just kept on progressing on that and finally bought a full-size organ for the house.
So was this something that was looked like an organ, but on one hand it had buttons like an accordion, and on the
right,
other hand...
Right, and it was small. It was a wind instrument. It was a reed instrument.
And you turned it on. It was one of those things where you turn on, it was...
Yeah, definitely.
I kind of remember those.
Yeah, all right.
People had those. Now we got an organ in our house. I just remember, what is that?
Oh, yeah.
What's that all about? So now, how old are you?
I am 52.
You're 52. Yeah. Okay. So
that was a few years back.
That was a few. No, no, I know. But the reason I'm asking is because when I was a kid, I did. You know, my first love as an instrument was the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm almost 40. So, but it was like kind of an 80s thing that was going on where the keyboard was there, and I wanted this Casio like CT380 or something like that, which was just, you know, that's what I really, really wanted, full-size keys and all that. So did that have any influence, in terms of your, or was it more like 70s organ stuff? Did that have an influence? What kind of music were you listening to at the time?
Well, I was listening to all the pop stuff that was on the radio, and that was the late 60s and early 70s when I was doing that. Actually, it was probably early to mid 70s. Yeah, it wasn't really the 60s by that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then you're like, hey, this is what I like. I like the organ.
Right.
And so you like the organ, and the 70s had a lot of organ in it, didn't it?
Right. Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it did, definitely. The synthesizer was just starting to take off, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got into that a little bit later, but the organ was first, and I actually got a Farfisa organ along with a Leslie, which I used to roll down the street to a friend's house. You could put the Hammond, or it wasn't a Hammond, it was a Farfisa. You'd put that on top of the Leslie. The Leslie had wheels. And you'd bring it over to your friend's house.
Now, just to
this
explain...
was before driving, of course.
So just to explain to people what you said is Leslie is a spinning cabinet, but it's not a small spinning cabinet.
No, it's pretty big.
It's pretty big. It's like probably 3 feet tall.
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah.
How big was this one that you had? Was it?
It was probably about 3 or 4 feet tall.
Yeah, 3 or 4 feet tall. You're so just the visual that I'm getting is you pushing a 4 foot speaker down the road to your friends. I hope you didn't live too far away.
It was a little ways.
And was this to be in like a garage band or something like that?
Yeah, basically. Actually, it was down in our cellar.
Oh, okay.
So once we got to the house, we still had to bring it all the way down the cellar.
Oh my gosh. But back then, you were like, I need to get a Leslie because this is the sound.
Well, yeah. I bought the organ with the Leslie.
You bought the organ with the Leslie at the time. See, by the time I knew what a Leslie was, they were already rare because everyone had already bought them up. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. So that's cool. So then you fell in love with that sound.
Definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
Okay. So saxophone, not appealing. Guitar, not really appealing.
Saxophone, that's one instrument that I wish I had learned to play.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. No, just pulling that out. Hey, I know that this isn't related to probably what you were playing in the basement of some girl's basement.
Yeah.
That's right. You were the late. You said this a friend of yours was a girl.
Yeah.
So you're down in her basement, and she was singing, and you were...
She was singing and playing guitar.
She was singing and playing guitar, and you're down there doing the other stuff.
Yeah.
But years later, you started making music and recording it.
Yes.
Okay, so, but in between, were you always involved in bands or in one form or another?
Yeah, well, definitely. From the time we started bring the organ down to the basement, I think that's when I got the bug for it, and we actually played out with that band at over in the Exeter Bowling Lanes. That was our first big gig.
You mean, what do they call that now? I mean, the Exeter Bowling Lanes, isn't that?
I think that's Shooters now.
Shooters?
Yeah.
So that,
I believe so.
And so that's where you played your first big gig?
Yeah, I played there for the first time since then. Oh, I think it was in January, actually, yeah. With the Shifters.
Oh, the Shifters?
Yes.
I know the Shifters.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good bunch of people.
Are you part of the Shifters?
They've been calling me up since January now, and they have a gig that they want me to play it, yeah.
No kidding. Cousin Richard books them for weddings and stuff like that. That's how I know the Shifters.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I know that they do a lot of weddings and stuff like that. Hey, that's pretty
cool. Great
bunch
of guys.
Yeah, they're kind of local guys, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool, the Shifters. Well, I want to play something from way back when here, just to give people some sound of what was going on. Probably not then, but what is this not the knots? Okay, first of all, I was reading on Facebook a comment that you wrote the other day saying, I've reinvented myself so many times, I don't even know what the end of the comment said. Do you remember what it said?
No, actually, that wasn't a quote from me, though. That was a quote from someone else, and I can't quite remember what it was. I don't remember exactly what it was. That wasn't a quote from me, though.
Oh. Well, either way, it was very memorable, but, even though I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, tell me about this band then, Not the Knots, because okay. I just need to say that there that you brought in a CD of older influences. We have bands called Not the Knots, Father Buzz, Stewed Tomatoes, Hysterical Society, Absence of Hemlock, Absence of Alice, and Brian Randall, and then this CD from the RPM Challenge that I'm going to talk about is also Brian Randall. That's a lot of bands. Is that all the bands that you've been in, or is that just
no,
the ones that you recorded?
That's not all. No, there's a few others, definitely.
Let's play some of the stuff from Not the Knots. Okay. I have either The Line or The Hand That Feeds.
I think The Line would be a good one to go with.
Yeah, let's just go right back to that. So we must start at the beginning. All right, here on Local Folk. Hey, we're gonna listen to this for just a sec, and then we'll be right back with you. Not the Knots. I just have a question for you. About when did you... This is Not the Knots. This is something that you brought back. And you said that you put them in chronological order, which yes. I was really excited about. What year about was this written?
This is around 81, 82.
Is that you singing?
No, that is not me singing.
Okay.
No.
That was a good singer.
Yeah, this guy is a good singer. Yeah.
Now, how did this song come about, though?
Well, it's how the band came about, really. This was down in a lot in Oklahoma. I was in the Army at the time.
Oh.
And, decided to form a band with some other people I had met there.
Did they let you bring your Leslie through boot camp?
Actually, I did have it shipped down, but it was after boot camp. The Leslie and the organ, yep.
Unbelievable. Yep. I mean, I'm hearing influences, you know, that are very 80s in that, almost like
definitely.
I'm hearing some, like the Cars, the Talking Heads.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, so yep. These are things that you may have been listening to at the time. Okay, yeah.
Definitely. It definitely has a new wave influence to it.
A new wave influence to it. Yeah. No, I can really dig that. So this is when you were in the Army and you said, isn't that funny about music, how kind of wherever you go and whatever you do, you find people that like and play music and perform it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know? If you actually go out and look for it, you'll find it, you know?
If you go out and look for
it. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, an organ player is not exactly something that's easy to find.
Right.
You know, right. Maybe more so back then or something, but, you know, guitarists tend to be...
Oh, there's tons of guitarists.
There's a
around,
lot of
you know.
Guitarists, it seems like.
Right.
And
it's actually harder if you're a guitarist to actually get a band together because there's so many of them and so few of the other instruments.
Exactly.
People that play the other instruments, you know.
It'd be like that bass player thing from Spinal Tap with everyone
right.
playing the same.
Yeah. Big Bottoms.
Yeah, Big Bottoms. That's what... Yeah, so that's what you do. Get together with a whole bunch of guitar players. And if you've got the organ, man, you're good. You know, you can do it. That's one piece of advice, though, that I would give people is that if they did have intentions of getting a band or something like that, sure, the guitar is great. But to be the most useful, you will always be sought after if you're like probably a bass player, maybe.
Bass players, drummers.
Drummers, yeah.
Yep.
Organ players.
Yeah.
Good keyboard organ players. Yeah. Keyboard players and all that stuff. So that was the 80s, all right? And, you know, I want to play a piece of this Father Buzz, but actually what I really want to do is say, what happened to that band? Did that have to go away when you left the Army?
Or? Yes, yeah.
And when you were gigging out with those guys? Because, you know, I noticed when you made that, did you go to a studio to make that
album?
We
did make that in a studio.
So you had some time together to play music together, enough so where you're like, hey, we should go in the studio and make an album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, a few months anyhow.
A few months?
Yeah. Six at the most. Definitely.
The band was only together for 6 months?
No, before we actually went into the studio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were all playing together.
But, it was probably less than a year before.
I love that.
The end of that.
Tell me about Father Buzz.
Father Buzz was a project I did when I got back up here, probably around 85, 86. And I basically, it was songs that I had written up until that point, since about 1980 maybe. And I just decided to go out and try to record them. And I went into a studio and recorded those.
So Father Buzz was not a band that you had. It was songwriting that you did that you decided that you wanted to record.
Right, but I formed a band to record them.
Oh, you formed a band
yes.
to record it. Okay.
Yes.
And you said, listen, my intention with this band is to record an album.
Right.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
They didn't even want to, did they say, hey, I want to play out? Or did they, you know.
We played out a couple gigs.
Yeah.
Not much, though. Yeah. Because there was only less than an hour's worth of material. So, you know, we played like one fair downtown Newmarket. And
yeah.
I can't remember where else we played. I think that might have been it, actually.
Yeah. Hey, man, the Newmarket Heritage Festival's on hiatus this year. Did you know?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got an email the other day, Newmarket Heritage Festival on hiatus for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Just these mentioned festivals, and I just got the email that said that. I was like, huh, interesting.
So I don't know if they must still be doing the old home weekend, or they.
I don't know if they're going
to combine them or what, but.
I don't know.
It's a shame.
Yeah. What festival were you in?
It would be old home weekend. It was before the Heritage Festival had started up, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they switched it to the Heritage. Switched the name to the Heritage Festival? I don't know.
No.
No.
Two different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Heritage Festival just stomped on that old home festival. Yeah, we're the only festival in town. So, yeah. I want to play a piece of this then, because this represents something where you said, I made this whole thing. So, you know, you must have had complete control over the sound and
you
had a whole vision about this.
Yes, definitely.
Of what you wanted it to sound like and how you wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to have that kind of control over an album? Good, huh?
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was actually the first time I had recorded on my own without the whole band situation, everyone putting their input in, you know. So
yeah,
it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to hear a piece of? I just want to play a piece of it because actually I want to get to the Stewed Tomatoes as well, but I just want to hear a little. Is it Struggling Artist?
Struggling Artist would be a good one.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. Yeah, let's play a little bit of this.
I still play that one actually once in a while.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, this is. Oh, guitar. Nice. Let's listen to this for a minute. Is that you singing on that, too?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I was waiting for the organ. Yeah, the piano, as it turns out, it was in this song, right?
Correct.
You know, okay, we knew each other a lot, not just because of music, but I knew you as the bartender down at the Polish American Club.
Yes.
Which is funny, because, of course, I was Irish, and you know, as a member of the Polish club. That says, I'm sure that's a common story down at the Polish club, which is, I'm not really Polish, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of people aren't sure that they can get in because they're not Polish, but anyone can get in there. You just have to know somebody that is a member.
You just have to, that's right. Are you Polish?
No, I'm not Polish. I'm a French-Swede.
French-Swede, yeah. I'm kind of.
And they let me in there, believe it or not.
They don't just let you in there. They let you bartend, but you couldn't be on the board of directors. No. I do know that. All right, I know that you need to have it like that. Style of writing is... Okay, I'm going to say that I remember you wearing... you like the Muppets.
Yeah, I like the Muppets.
You like tunes and cartoons and stuff like
Definitely.
That? Definitely. Yeah. Do you think that that has any influence on your songwriting or anything like that?
To a degree.
Because I can almost visualize some of this stuff being put with animation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It would be awesome, I think. I don't know. I think it'd be... I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Hey, I'm gonna play a whole song because I want to play the Stewed Tomatoes one. But this is the last one I'm going to play on this because I want to get to your RPM challenge
and
I want to talk about the RPM challenge. And we're getting close to the middle of the hour, but there was this funny one that I heard, Hippie Punk Hardcore Blues. And tell me about that song.
Well, this is written by Stefan Lowe, and he was the lead singer and guitarist for the band. Actually, he and the other guitarist were actually both the big singers in the band. But actually, I sang a few songs, and the bass player sang a few songs. So.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and this is just something that they wrote and that you guys, and this was years later that you had this band Stewed Tomatoes and you came up with this?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Brian, you've had a lot of iterations. I think it's great. I'm glad that we got to listen to some of this stuff because I think it's going to help to lead up to the RPM Challenge
Very
album
good.
That you finally did. All right, we'll be right back in just a couple minutes here on Local Folk, and I'm speaking with Brian Randall. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan. We'll be back. This is Steve Kerrigan, and we're back on Local Folk, and that was the Hardcore Hippie Blues. I'm speaking with Brian Randall, and he put out a CD for the RPM Challenge, and we're going to start to talk about that a little bit. We've been playing some of the other iterations of Brian Randall throughout the years, but I want to just let everybody know what's going on in the community calendar. Another thing, the Portsmouth Garden Club's Festival of Trees and New Hampshire Division of Forests and Lands Urban Forestry Center are providing grants up to $500 for the creation or maintenance of environmental or conservation gardens. They may be historical gardens or gardens for children or for seniors in public places. There are also grants of up to $300 for conservation activities by schools. The Festival of Trees occurs every other year on the weekend before Thanksgiving when the Urban Forestry Center hosts its fundraising holiday event. For more information, or more information may be obtained by contacting Eva at 603-436-7896 or via email at evapow, E-V-A-P-O-W, 1 at comcast.net. Also, applications are available online at PortsmouthNHGardenClub.com. And the deadline is March 22nd. So that's coming up real fast. I don't even know what you would do. How do you make a garden for kids? You'd have to make it very durable, I would think. Why would a garden specifically be for seniors? I'd be kind of curious. I don't know. But I guess that's what the garden, that's for you all to decide and for you all to do it, because if you want to put one together, it looks like there's some money in it for you if you can go ahead and do that. Isn't that funny that I was talking about the gardens and the trees and everything else right after the hardcore hippie blues? Hippie punk hardcore blues.
Correct.
To be exact. So that was then, and this is now. So tell me about the challenge. You knew, how long have you known about the challenge? A long time, right?
Yeah, actually, they started doing it in 2006, and I kind of looked on from a distance, but I always had something going on.
Yeah.
The month of February is a slow month for musicians, really, in general.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of gigs. People are still coming down from the holidays, so
right.
There's not a lot of gigs coming out at you at that point. Yeah. So I decided this year, let's try it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I had to boost my confidence up to do it, and I said, yeah, I'm going to do this. I think I had a lot of people that said, yeah, you know, you're going to do it, sure.
Yeah.
But I had to do it at that point, you know.
So it was the naysayers. There were some naysayers.
Yeah, I think so. But they weren't actually saying it. They were just kind of brushing it off. Yeah, you're going to do that.
Okay, so know? They weren't
saying, no, you're not going to do it. They were
not exactly cheering you on either.
Right.
That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of pushed me even more.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about that. What motivates you? You
exactly.
know, I mean, you're like, oh yeah, you don't think so? No, I'm sure you will. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you'll see. No, I'm sure I will.
So, Brian, what's the criteria for getting into the RPM challenge? Is that a minimum amount of songs?
Yeah.
Or a max, or what? What is
you
it?
Have to do 10 songs or 35 minutes worth of material. So, I mean, you could write an opera that lasts 35 minutes or something, you know, and it's only one song per se. Or you could do 10 punk songs that last 5 minutes in all together, you know. But that's the criteria. It used to be that when they first started, I know that you had to write all the material at that point too. And that's what I did with this album. I went back to the old school and actually wrote it all and recorded it all within the month of February.
So the idea is to write 30 minutes worth of material.
35 minutes.
Or 10 songs.
Or 10 songs.
So it could be, like you said, it could be 10 songs that total 5 minutes long, if that's what made sense to you.
Right.
But it can't be more than 35 minutes.
No, it can be more than 35 minutes, sure. It's got to fit on a CD.
Oh, so it can be more than 35. Oh, but it can't be under 35 minutes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're doing punk songs, you could have 35 songs that were a minute long, but you couldn't, you know. Right.
Well, you could do 10 songs that were a minute long, as far as that goes. You know, you've already hit that first obligation. You could have 10 songs.
Oh, okay. So if
or
it's,
35 minutes, at least 35 minutes worth of material.
Whatever's less.
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
As long as you hit those two.
As long as you hit the
one of the two criteria, right.
Either 10 songs or 35 minutes, but you don't have to. All right, so it's not. All right, hey. Well, how tough was it?
It was tricky at first.
Sounds it.
You know, I had to actually write a song or two beforehand just to get myself back into it, because I hadn't written in quite a while on a regular basis. You know, I'd pull out a song here and there and play it. And I wasn't quite happy with it, so I had to practice a little bit on the writing before I did it.
So you were that was in January that you were like, well, I'm going to get geared up for this thing. I'm going to write a song.
Actually, December.
December. Yeah. Okay, so you didn't just, it wasn't like getting towards the end of January and you were like, you know what? February's coming up. I think I'm going to do this thing. You were thinking about it.
I was thinking
then.
About it before then, yes.
Okay, because you'd been monitoring it for years.
Right.
Who puts
Correct.
This event on?
The Wire. The That's the local paper. I don't know. You must be familiar with it.
Well, yeah, I do the crossword in the back and read the News of the Weird.
The News of the Weird, great feature.
It's the best.
Yeah.
If I can't read anything else in that paper, I have to read News of the Weird.
Oh, yeah, it's the only news worth reading sometimes. It's better than the rest of the news, which is the news of the dismal and depressing. But anyways,
They started out back in 2006, and then I don't know how many years afterwards, it started to go nationwide.
Nationwide. And I didn't know that this was nationwide. Did The Wire start this
thing?
Now
it's global.
Really?
Yes.
And The Wire started it?
The Wire started it, yes.
Thank you, Wire.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you, David.
At The Wire. I don't know. I don't know if it's The Wire that deserves the credit or the people that.
I don't know. Whoever came up with that idea. I mean, somebody was. If somebody knows, let me know. Email me or.
I know David, the owner. He's a.
Of The Wire.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, very approachable. So. I can give him a call. The paper.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Sure, he'd fill you in and any questions we've got.
Well, the question I have is, I don't have any questions about it. Well, I don't know. I was asking you about it. No, you're the only source I need, Brian. Well, you are on my program right now. If you're not on my program at the time, I have so little time. But hey, thank you, Wire, for coming up with the RPM challenge. This actually is pretty amazing because this is part of what makes Portsmouth a great place. Is that sometimes great ideas like this originate from there? I've known about this RPM challenge, and I've always thought, boy, that's quite a challenge. Because you really need to record it on your own, don't you? A lot of this stuff that you did back then, it was at a recording studio.
Yes, a lot of it.
You could probably go to a recording studio to do the RPM challenge, I would think.
You could, but then you have to be able to book the time, and you have to mix it down all within that month still.
And doesn't it have to be you that mixes it?
No, it doesn't have to be you to mix it. You just have to have it done.
Do you have to play the instruments on it?
No, you don't even. Well, I mean, you should. I think you should play an instrument on it and sing or whatever. But that's not one of the requirements, actually. You just have to have it done, finished, and sent to the RPM.
So somebody could just
noon of March 1st.
Somebody could write songs,
mm-hmm.
and then gather musicians and book time at a recording studio, and just be with their baton. And conduct it.
Sure.
Okay.
It has to be all original material, though. You can't do covers.
It can't be trite.
Well, it depends. What kind of trite?
Yeah. It can't be trite or cliche. this is not original enough. You can't use the 1-4-5 chords.
have to put them in opposite order.
Have to put them in opposite order. You have to use deux and trois or quatre cinq. I don't know. You have to use them in French. So it has to be original songs, brand new songs that were conceived of in the month of February.
Not anymore. It used to be that way. Now it has to be that you have to have recorded it within February.
Okay, so
but
you could pull out
but
your
I
old...
did it so that I did it their old way. As far as they were doing it in 2006, that's how you had to do it. You had to write it and record it all in the month of February. Now you just have to record it in February.
Really? So, yeah. I mean, I could go back to my old scratch tracks of stuff I did way back when.
As long as it hadn't been released, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. They can't have been released.
Right.
But you could go back to your old songbook.
Sure.
That's
as long
fair.
As you didn't. You can't take recordings from that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, who's to say? I mean, what if it was, what if it was the end of January and you felt that song that you had was about a dream? Some might say that, that song originated from the time that you had that dream. But
except it wasn't actually a dream of mine. Shh.
Oh, okay.
Don't tell anyone.
All right. Well, we played a song from it originally, and it was called Out of a Dream. And it was the very first song that we played before we even started talking. I want to give people another taste of it. Let's play another song from this CD, and then we'll come back to this whole amazing project of writing and everything else that you did on this. What would you like to listen to this time?
I don't know.
I don't know. We have At Day's End. She Can't Drink.
Yeah, how about At the Day's End? That would be a good day's one. End. The Day's End is the first track on here. There is a 2-second delay before it starts, so we might want to talk before it actually starts.
Okay, well, here we go. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. Wait a minute.
Oh, knocked out there.
a little bit older. I'll tell you how things used to be. Though life's a little bit colder, I don't need any sympathy. And while time passes so quickly, you age a day and you're finishing school, and things are gonna get tricky. Some days you think that you're playing the fool. Take time to do it right. Fight the fight, it'll be alright. In the evening, at day's end. You know there's gonna be rough days, and you won't wanna get yourself out of bed. So you're gonna need tough ways to keep yourself and your family fed. While at your glorious work day, working hard to keep a smile on your face. It's a notorious replay, and you gotta keep on keeping the pace. Take time to do it right. Fight the fight, it'll be alright. In the evening, at day's end.
Yeah, I like the way the vocals stand right out in front.
Yeah.
You pulled those right out front.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I like that. I was able to listen to the words. You know, normally I'm actually a tune listener. Like, I hear the... What about you? When you hear a song, do you hear the tune or do you hear the words first?
Usually I hear the tune first. Because I'm having to figure out what the song is about.
Oh, that's true.
You know, what the chords are going on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, actually, I rarely listen to the words unless I have to learn them. And
isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you play every instrument on this?
On this, yes.
Okay, so this is what you did. All right, now I know that somebody could go in and hire the musicians and do this and that, but you played all the instruments on every single track on this?
Correct.
Where did you record it?
Right at the house.
Right at your house.
Yes.
What kind of a recorder do you use?
I got a Tascam. You can record 8 tracks at once on it, I think it's 24 tracks in all, plus a bunch of other tracks. And actually, I take it from there and I put it on my computer and mix it down there.
And what do you use for software on that to mix it?
Adobe Audition.
Audition?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Right.
But that's definitely a good way to do it, I would say. I use that sometimes to do anyways, so this is so it's not like you're going into some big computer, you know, Pro Tools thing or whatever. Do you use a preamp?
It's comes right from the Tascam.
Do you mostly how the drums? It's not a drum, is it? It's probably a keyboard drum.
Yeah, actually, it's the keyboard drums. But on this one here, I had a drum track first assigned, and then I came back and played the snare afterwards.
An actual snare?
Well, no, just on the keyboard.
Oh, okay, on the keyboard, and you were able to build up the track like that. Okay, I mean, it's very full sounding. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on there. I mean, the horns.
Yeah.
Oh, they sound very...
They're pretty convincing.
Horn-ish.
They're pretty convincing. The name of the album is Sketchpad, and that's what it is, basically. But it's a little bit refined for the sketches, but it's definitely a sketchpad.
I find it was really rich sound.
Thank you.
Really rich, and a warmth to it, which is nice.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And it was some exciting. And, you know, like I said, I heard the words.
Right.
Of course, I could relate to those. So it was good, taking care of the family. Well, we should move on and listen to some more stuff on this. Yeah, I did have those questions about the whole thing. But what do we have now? She can't drink.
How about Jeremy Kincaid?
Let's give this a listen a little bit.
That's an interesting one.
These are just previews. By the way, if you would like to get your hands on one of these CDs, we're going to let you know how you can get your hands on one of these CDs right after we give a listen to this song right here. Some of this song right here, Jeremy Kincaid, and you can tell us all about it here on Local Folk.
His name was Jeremy Kincaid. Everyone thought he had it made. house and such a lovely spouse, but was he playing a charade? He had a job that paid him well, and his co-workers thought him swell. Just for the fun of it, he used to run a bit, but on his health he wouldn't dwell. He wouldn't gamble, cheat, or lie. Always an upright kind of guy. He often gave to charities and helped the children overseas. One day while driving in his car, he found he couldn't go too far, for he had found, alas, that he'd run out of gas. He searched for help inside a bar. While waiting for a bit of fuel, he sat upon a dusty stool. He ordered up a Coke and heard a dirty joke that had him laughing till he drooled.
A portrait. A portrait of a man.
On a bar stool, of course. I know them very well.
I like that, though. A portrait of a man named Jeremy Kincaid. What is it, based on someone that you know? Or
No, it just kind of fell together.
Yeah. Who would you say your main influences are nowadays?
Oh, geez. I think my main influence of all time would be the Beatles still.
Would be the Beatles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because they could go off in so many different directions with their music. And yeah.
Yeah, they definitely could. I mean, I can sense that influence. Do you like Frank Zappa at all?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, because I
like Zappa?
I don't know.
Sounded a little bit Zappish.
That's what definitely. I was thinking too. But I mean, I see some Beatles and some Zappa and some other, you know, right. some other cool rockers, you know, happening there, and you know, the whole thing. So, but you know, if I asked you what your genre was, you would say
it's all over the place.
All over the place. Yeah.
I think there's definitely a common ground there, but it's all me. It's not like from one band or another band. It's all the common ground is me.
This is all you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you, if somebody wants to get one of these albums, can they get it?
Right now, the only way you can get it is by digital download.
Okay.
On Bandcamp, brianrandallbandcamp.com.
Bandcamp?
Yes.
Yeah, you're the second person I've heard talking about Bandcamp. Is that the way to go, you think?
Right now, I haven't figured out any other distribution for it, but I'm thinking about it. I'm just going to see how well these go. I've got an initial run of them that have come in, and I'm giving them to friends and stuff.
So this is not not something that you want to... you're selling a few of them, but you're not... trying to sell a million of them, or...
Well, that's not decided yet.
Oh, okay.
If I can sell a million of them, I might sell a million of them. I'm not dumb.
Okay, yeah, right. Oh, exactly, yeah. I'm sorry, sir. I don't have a million available. 900,000 of them went to my family, so... All right. So, anyways, now, these... I want to listen to more of this, actually, because it's actually rare that I have. I always have, you know, musicians that I enjoy hearing, but I particularly haven't heard a style like this. This is a unique style, so right. I want to share it. I want to share more of it. We've got The Spot and something called Interlude, Kicking a Rock.
Kicking a Rock is a nice song.
Kicking a Rock.
That's about pastimes.
Not pastime?
Not pastime, but pastimes.
Yeah, maybe somebody's pastime. You know. Okay, so this is about pastimes. And when I go back, I want to talk a little bit about these listening parties and stuff like that.
Good.
But here we have Kickin' a Rock by Brian Randall.
Riding our bikes along the old town road to get to our favorite spot to swim. Wearing our bathing suits beneath our clothes, the local pizza place, grabbing ourselves a bite to eat, sharing the gossip of the latest words, keeping it real out on the street, walking along the local railroad tracks, having a good day, kicking a rock, having the sun give us a summer tan. Gum and drinking soda pop, playing a bit of ball outside, jumping the back of someone's pickup truck so we can all go for a ride, walking along the local railroad tracks, having a good day, kicking a rock, letting the sun give us a summer tan, and let the daylight be our clock. Oh, hearing the music of an ice cream truck, ticking for change in your mom's chairs, playing games throughout the neighborhood, and getting ready for the fair. Getting ready for the fairs, and getting ready for the fairs.
Right on, kicking a rock. Mm-hmm. You know, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself that even though the tunes are not, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but the lyrics themselves to me remind me of. A little bit like, in a sense, like good country music. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you like country music at all, do you?
Not a big fan.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. No, because...
this one is probably the most country of everything on there.
Well, only because it has this, it's about this appreciation of simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not that all country music has an appreciation of simple things, but to me, you know, the song represents, you know, an appreciation of simple times.
Definitely. Yeah.
Kicking a rock.
Exactly.
Going for a swim down the... Where was that, anyways?
Where was it? Really?
Yeah, really.
Maybe it's
a secret.
It's over by where Dunsbridge was, or is, so...
Do people still swim there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they pretty much have all the cops down there and... Just chasing people away these days.
Well, you know, in the song you talked about using the sun for your clock, something like that. Daylight for, I don't know.
Yeah, sun starts to go down, you know it's time to go home.
Well, you know that, but you know things have changed.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can't go out and do that now. Right. Now I mean, kids can't go out and do that now.
Right. You have to have your phone on you now wherever you go.
Oh, maybe you do. Yeah, I guess you do have to have your phone on you. Times have changed, suppose, not in this day and age, right. But, you know, my friend was telling, you know, you used to just go out and whatever, you come back when the sun started to go down, you know,
exactly.
It was about to be dinner time. Hey, we have time. We're going to have one more song that we're going to leave with. All right.
All right.
And I just want to say, where are people going to be able to hear this? Your listening party is at the Stone Church. Tell me about that.
Correct. Well, I think they're only going to play one or two songs of mine at the Stone Church.
Yeah.
But that's going to be on Thursday,
okay,
the 21st.
Yes.
From 6:30 till 9, I believe, is the times.
6:30 to 9, okay.
And I don't know anywhere in there when it's going to be, but that is the date and that is the times.
Okay, so how many other people are going to be there that are the artists?
Don't even know that.
You don't even know that, but you do know that that is where your songs are going to be premiered.
Well, they've been premiered here, I think.
They've been premiered here. This is where they're going to be. This is where you're going to be able to go and listen to them with a beer in your hand.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Whatever else. So you guys bumped us out of Irish Night, you know, but the RPM Challenge, is an international event. So, you know, and you're part of it. So I think that that's very important. Let's listen to one more thing, and then we're going to have Under the Radar coming up. And so as a last song to play on your CD, we have Please Me or Ricky, the King of the Dance Floor, or Little Queen.
How about Little Queen?
Little Queen. Okay, we're going to end it with that, and then we're going to move on to Under the Radar. I want to say, Brian, it's been great chatting with you about all of these things. And you know, once again, I want people to get involved in the music, and the RPM challenge is just one way to do that. But please, everyone, get out there and you know, take the bull by the horns. Go listen to live music. Learn an instrument. Do something like that. At least keep listening to local folk. You know,
great show.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Thanks again. We'll see you all next week. Yeah, on local folk. Thank you.
Little Queen, you're obscene. You take every word I say and twist it around. You're a tramp, such a vamp. You stole my heart and threw it to the ground. You must have everything. A breath.